Well, we are in week 26 of our series on the book of Luke, and this is the last week of going through the book of Luke. I have thoroughly enjoyed it. I love doing narrative studies, that is, studies that tell a story, and I love the stories involved with Jesus and just the many principles that we were able to pull out from it. Well, we are in Luke 24, and we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 12, and we're going to be talking about the resurrection of Jesus. And I don't know if it comes as any surprise to you. I would imagine that it doesn't, but the resurrection of Jesus Christ is central to our faith. It is indispensable. You take away the resurrection, you take away the authority, you take away the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I wanted to start out by looking first at 1 Corinthians 15 and just looking at the centrality of the resurrection to our faith, where Paul points out in verses 3 to 4, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures." And then he goes on in 1 Corinthians 15, in verses 13 to 39, and you could look at it and by yourself just point out what Paul says becomes of our faith if Jesus has not been raised from the dead. And if there is no resurrection, Paul says, I'm going to summarize verses 13 and 19. He says, Jesus has not even been raised. And if Jesus hasn't been raised, then our preaching is in vain. So anything we say about Jesus, about his salvation, about his deity, is false. Our preaching is in vain. Our faith is in vain. What we believe is in vain. We are false witnesses of God because we're attesting to Jesus, who is God, we believe, but without the resurrection, it is disproven that Jesus is God. Verse 16, again, repeating that not even Christ has been raised. Verse 17, our faith is worthless. We're still in our sins. Goes on, those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished, and so there is no hope of those who have died in Christ, who that we know that we have a hope that they are in heaven. That is not true, because of the if the resurrection is not true, then that they are in heaven, that they have been raised from the dead, is not true. And finally, Paul says in verse 19 that we're of all men to be pitied. And so it's a very sad story if there is no resurrection. And it's not to be taken lightly. Our Christian faith rises or falls with the resurrection. And so the ultimate outcome that Paul says in, again, in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 32 now, he says, "If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die." Quoting another passage, but just a common thought, I think, even of today, of that there is no eternity, there is no superior God to us, and so let's just do whatever we want. And Paul is basically saying, if Jesus has not been raised, do whatever you want, because there is no hope. There is no resurrection, so live for the here and now. Well, the good news is, if we back up to verse 20 of 1 Corinthians 15, Paul reassures us, "But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep." And first fruits is an agricultural term. It is, you have the first fruits, but with many more in the harvest to follow after you. And so Jesus was raised from the dead, but not just Jesus was raised from the dead. Because of his resurrection from the dead, we have a hope of resurrection after we die. That this life is not all we know, that there is life after this life. Now we're picking up our story after Jesus has been crucified. He has died. A Roman soldier took a spear and thrust it into Jesus' side, and it says that blood and water flowed out, thus proving that he had actually and truly died. And so a man named Joseph from a region called Arimathea asked for the body of Jesus. And he, along with John 19:39, tells us that Nicodemus, who Jesus met in John 3, Nicodemus helped Joseph of Arimathea with taking down Jesus' body from the cross, of preparing it for burial. And there would be many wrappings and spices applied to the body. But I would believe that because the Sabbath day, of which they were not allowed to work, was approaching, that it was kind of a hasty burial. And so that is the reason for the revisiting of the women to the tomb to properly, you know, wrap and add spices to his body. But Joseph of Arimathea, Nicodemus, and then some women, it says, were involved in the burial of Jesus. And they put him in a tomb. Bible says that they rolled a large stone across the entrance, Matthew says, of the tomb. But it's interesting to note that it's not just the impossibility of someone stealing the body of Jesus from just rolling away the stone, but there's actually Jewish leaders who went to Pilate and said, we remember that they said that Jesus said that he would rise after 3 days. And they were afraid that someone would steal the body of Jesus and then claim, hey, he rose after 3 days, and all this is a big fabrication. So what they did was they requested and they were granted guards to guard the tomb of Jesus. And this was probably a mixture of temple guards as well as Roman guards. We know that it's plural from a number of scripture passages surrounding it. So it's not just one guard, but they are a number of guards that were guarding the tomb of Jesus. And then they took a Roman seal and they put it on the stone. And that Roman seal might have been a ribbon or some, you know, the strength was not in the ribbon that was put on the stone, but it was, if you mess with this ribbon, the seal, you incur the wrath of the Roman government. And so there was a large stone that was rolled across the tomb of Jesus, but the real security of the tomb and why we know that Jesus rose from the dead and was not, his body was not stolen, is that there was a Roman guard who looked after the tomb and guarded it. Well, then we pick up in Matthew 28 that a severe earthquake happened. And this is before the women even got to the tomb. And the large stone was rolled away from the tomb, and an angel sat on it. And the guards shook for fear, and the Bible says that they became like dead men. And so you have the stone rolled over the entrance of the tomb. You have Roman guards with and probably Jewish temple guards, as well as a seal put over the stone, but it didn't matter because in Matthew 28 it says that an angel rolled away the stone, and then the Romans became like dead men. And then it goes on to say that they fabricated a lie in Matthew 28:11-15, that they fabricated a lie, and the Jewish leaders told the guards, we're going to pay you off, and we're going to cover your back. Just say that someone came and stole the body of Jesus. And that is where we pick up our context. So in verse 1 of Luke 24, it says, but on the first day of the week at early dawn, they came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. So the first day of the week is Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, the day that we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. At early dawn, they, and verse 10 tells us that they are a number of women. And Mark 16:1 says it's not just those women, but it was a woman named Salome. And so Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James, and other women, and also a woman named Salome, all came, many, you know, it could be a good large number of women who came to the tomb to prepare Jesus' body, maybe properly, because, again, his burial may have been a bit rushed because the Sabbath was coming on. They were not supposed to work on the Sabbath. And so they were bringing spices, which could have been 75 to 100 pounds of spices to prepare Jesus' body for burial. Remember that they did not have embalming, and so they would put spices all over the body to keep it from stinking so much, you know, being a dead body. And then they would, you know, go to the cave. The caves were meant for security. No one wanted the remains of their loved ones disturbed by grave robbers. So there would be valuables on or around the dead body that grave robbers could want, or wild animals could come in and ravage the body, plus the odors. And so we can understand why Jesus' body was put into a, or bodies in general were put into a tomb of some sort. And then a large disc was rolled over the entrance of that tomb. And then if they wanted to get back at the tomb, they would use levers to roll the stone away. And so these women were coming to prepare Jesus' body properly for burial with 75 to 100 pounds of spices, rewrap the body probably. But Mark says that the women didn't know what they were going to do with the stone. You know, they're approaching the tomb, and they say, what are we going to do with the stone? We don't have the strength to roll that away. And we find that in verse 2, and they found the stone, I'm going to insert my word, already, and then rolled away from the tomb. And so we understand that there were guards that watched the tomb. It was sealed with a Roman signature saying, you better not mess with this tomb. And the Roman guards experienced the rolling away of the stone by an angel. And it says in verse 3, but when they had entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. The body's missing. Where did it go? Well, verse 4, while they were perplexed about this, behold, two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling clothing. And this word perplexed in verse 4, the original Greek actually describes the women as without a way, meaning they were at a complete loss to explain the mystery. Now, it's interesting that they were at a complete loss to explain the mystery because Jesus many times said he would rise from the dead. And yet that was the furthest thing from their mind. They did not even consider that at this time. And it had to be explained to them by these two angels. And it says in verse 5, as the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. So they experienced these two angels. And the men said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee. And the he has risen is actually in the passive voice. That means that he rose himself, but he has been raised. There was an outside force acting on him. And we understand that from other scripture passages that God raised Jesus from the dead. But scripture also says that Jesus raised himself from the dead. And then the explanation of why the tomb was empty had to be given by the angels. And here again, Jesus had said it many times, but the angels had to kind of re-explain why the grave was empty. So in verse 6, the angels are reminding the women, remember how he spoke to you while he is still in Galilee. And then in verse 7, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise again. And in many instances, Jesus had predicted this. Luke 9, Luke 17, Luke 18, Luke 22, Matthew 12, 40. And as you look at Luke 9, 22, this is just one of the examples of Jesus while he was walking planet Earth saying that he would be crucified and raised again. So looking at Luke 9, 22, the Son of Man, this is Jesus talking, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised up on the third day. Now, why didn't they believe him? Why did this have to be explained to them? Maybe it was because their orthodoxy kind of overshadowed what Jesus had said. And their orthodoxy said, yes, absolutely, all of us in the last day, someday in the future, we are going to all be raised from the dead. But it did not account for Jesus saying, no, you're not understanding what I'm saying. I'm going to be crucified, and right away, I'm going to be raised from the dead within days. And their orthodoxy, again, did not allow for that. And they remembered his words. And so he had said it many times. They remembered. In verse 9, it says, and they returned from the tomb and reported all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. And in a parallel passage in Matthew 28:8, it says, as they fled, in a sense, their fear transitioned into joy as these words of the angel and the recollection of what Jesus had said sunk into their minds. The fear transitioned into joy. And so all the dread and all the sadness and watching their Savior, watching their Messiah, I should say, they came to a realization that he was truly the Savior after the resurrection, even though he had claimed numerous times to be the Savior, they transitioned into joy. And can you think of times when you have had the dread and the sadness of life and your dread and your fear transitioned into joy as you understand God's supernatural working? And so these women go from the empty tomb and report to the 11 and to all the rest. And so the 11 was a technical word used for the apostles. Remember, it was 12 apostles, but minus one. Judas had betrayed Jesus, went out and killed himself. So you have the 11. This was a word that was, you know, kind of a name of the apostles, the 11, and to all the rest. It says in verse 10, now there were Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, as I said, and also other women were with him telling these things to the apostles. Well, these are godly men, right? They had walked with Jesus. They had heard his claims about being the Messiah and about being crucified and raising on the third day. Surely these godly men right next to Jesus would say, ah, finally it happened. But it says in verse 11, but these words appeared to them as nonsense, and they would not believe them. Can you believe this? The apostles are not believing the resurrection story. And so, and actually, these words appeared to them as nonsense. The Greek word translated nonsense was a medical term to describe the feverish ramblings of delirium. And so what they were saying is, women, you're coming and claiming this tomb is empty. You're delirious. You're absolutely delirious. You saw angels. You are delirious. But Peter, it says in verse 12, but Peter got up and ran to the tomb. We understand also John ran too from other gospel account. And stooping and looking in, he saw the linen wrappings only. And he went away to his home, marveling at what had happened. And the wrappings only, if it is showing us that Jesus' body, when it was resurrected, went through the wrappings. Because if someone stole the body, the wrappings would not be there. You grab the whole body, wrappings and all, and you take it away. You don't unwrap a body and then steal only the body. And so this is evidence of it being a resurrection. Well, Luke doesn't record Jesus' actual appearances in this context. Now, right after this, as we pick up two disciples going on their road to Emmaus, we actually have it recorded Jesus' fourth appearance to people. We understand that Jesus appeared over a period of 40 days. And so he first appeared to Mary Magdalene. And then his second appearance was to other women, Mary, the mother of James, Salome, and Joanna. He appeared to Peter after that. And then in just following this context, this is where we have the it picking up that he appeared to two disciples, one named Cleopas, on the way to Emmaus. And so Jesus did appear. It doesn't right in this context. We just kind of have this context as showing an empty tomb. But there certainly were numerous appearances of Jesus to as many as 500 people at one time as he went around and he basically announced to those who were hiding and depressed and sad and doubtful and some, didn't know what to think. That he appeared to them, showing himself to be alive. And it was met with astounding response. And we know that this energized the church. As we look in the book of Acts, we have them energized by the Holy Spirit, by the coming of the Holy Spirit. And their message was one of not that the teachings of Jesus, not the just the example of Jesus, but the deity of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus. This empowered them to go through many different trials, including being persecuted and jailed in prison and even killed for their faith, because they knew that they had a genuine article, real, resurrected Savior that they were serving. So Jesus has been raised. He has been raised indeed. And that reverses the sadness that Paul describes in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 13 and 19. If Jesus hasn't been raised, there's a lot of sadness. But now the resurrection actually reverses that sadness, where we can look back over those verses and say, wait a minute, that's not true of us. And so Christ has been raised. And looking back over 1 Corinthians 15, our preaching is not in vain. Our preaching is of very high value. It's got a lot of weight. Our faith is not in vain. We are true witnesses of God. Our faith is of high value. We are not in our sins. Those who have fallen asleep in Christ have been raised. And we are of all men to be thought of as having something very valuable, of being very privileged to have the message of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. And going even beyond 1 Corinthians 15, we look at the followers of Jesus right around the time of Jesus, how Peter went from denying Christ to preaching him and being a prominent figure in the book of Acts, especially Acts 1 through 11, of going on trial for Christ, much as Jesus, similar to as Jesus had gone on trial, and going to the point of actually being crucified for his faith. This is what the Holy Spirit working within Peter. And then the message of the resurrection just emboldening him to go out and preach the good news of Jesus Christ. We see a group of apostles and disciples cowering in John 20, 19. And then we see in the book of Acts how the disciples go throughout the known world to preach the good news of Jesus Christ. They were emboldened by the Holy Spirit, but they're emboldened with the message of the resurrection. There is a drastic shift in their courage. Well, present day, we have so many benefits of the resurrection. Christ's resurrection ensures our regeneration. And what I mean by that, we are, at the time of our salvation, buried with Christ and raised up brand new, spiritually alive people. And that is because of the resurrection. It ensures our justification. Jesus' claims about being the resurrection and the life and the gate and so many things, the way, the truth, and the life, that those statements are authenticated by his resurrection. If he wasn't raised again, those statements would just be, you know, nice thoughts, nice things to say, but they would not be the truth of Jesus' words that we have salvation, we have justification, we're declared righteous because it's authenticated and there is the reality of the resurrection. And because of Jesus' resurrection, it ensures that we will receive perfect resurrection bodies as well. Going back to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20, it says, "But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep." And so Jesus rose from the dead, and that is a term, first fruits, is with many more to follow after him. So Jesus rose from the dead. Those who place their trust in Christ are resurrected to brand new life in this life as we are spiritually alive. But then when we actually undergo physical death, we are raised up to heaven. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so we have resurrection bodies. Such great promises. Again, the Christian faith rises or falls with the resurrection. And we see from studying through Scripture, understanding the impact of Jesus' resurrection, that the Christian faith rises. That the Christian faith rises with the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's not always good news in our world today, but I have some great news for you. You see, we serve a Savior who said so many wonderful things. So many wonderful things were predicted of him, and we have assurance that he is the fulfillment of those prophecies, that he is the Messiah, he is the Savior of the world. So many wonderful things were written about him in the epistles and the New Testament that followed, and they are authenticated by the resurrection. So while there's not a lot of good news in our world today, I got some great news for you. Jesus is alive and well, and he ever lives. He makes resurrection for us, makes intercession for us. He is enthroned, and one day our risen Savior is coming back for us. Great news.